Well, it's taken most of you 4 years. It's only taken me 40 years. I cannot begin to express my great pleasure and pride in standing before you today. I wish to thank President Michael Hogan, the Board of Trustees, and all the members of the faculty and staff. I congratulate the mothers, the fathers, family members, and friends, and of course you, the great graduating class of 2010. I'm truly honored and humbled by this moment and pleased beyond words that my adopted home state and its great university has welcomed me as one of their own. And what a great place to be today, Gamble Pavilion, or as I like to think of it, the home of passion, persistence, perseverance, and good old-fashioned perspiration. The home of the great women's UConn championship team. Congratulations, Huskies. I have a question for you. Do you remember when you were very young, taking a family road trip and asking, "Are we there yet?" I'm certain your parents remember. They would continually assure you that you would soon be there. Those trips seemed to last forever. But today you've finally arrived at one of the great destinations of your life. Not only are you happy, so is your family, and I think I hear a collective sigh of relief out there. Now, as a children's book author and illustrator, it is only natural that I'd want to take you back to a simpler time when the things that I was passionate about as a child turned out to be the foundation of my world today. My love of the natural world, American history, and all the people who have played a part in it have become the source of ideas for my creating children's books for the next generation. It has been said the practitioners of my craft never really grow up. I haven't, and I never intend to. Eric Carle, the creator of the book, The Very Hungry Caterpillar, believes his ability to draw on his childhood experiences has aided him in simplifying complex ideas. Seeing the beauty of simplicity, being curious, being spontaneous, being creative, and believing that anything is possible are all hallmarks of your childhood, and they can continue to be for the rest of your life. The legendary children's book editor, Ursula Nordstrom, didn't have a college education, but her creative vision launched the careers of authors and illustrators whose books many of you have cherished for years. Here are just a few examples. Margaret Wise Brown's Goodnight Moon, Maurice Sendak's Where the Wild Things Are, E.B. White's Stuart Little, and Jean Craighead George's Julie of the Wolves. Nordstrom was once asked what qualified her to be a children's book editor, and she replied, "I'm a former child, and I haven't forgotten a thing." My friend and colleague Anita Silvey has recently edited a book called Everything I Need to Know, I Learned from a Children's Book. Life lessons from notable people from all walks of life. Here are just a few examples. At the age of 6, historian David McCullough gained much from reading Ben and Me by Robert Lawson. It's a book about the life of Benjamin Franklin as told by a mouse named Amos who lives in Ben's fur hat. David learned in the writing of history and biography, one has to call on imagination. Television journalist Judy Woodruff fell in love with Little Women by Louisa May Alcott when she was only 9 years old. The strong, independent character of Jo March inspired her to dream anything was possible in her own life. And William DeVries, the cardiothoracic surgeon who implanted the first artificial heart, was inspired by the words of the Tin Woodman from The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, "I will bear all the unhappiness without a murmur if you will only give me a heart." In following your heart, you will find the key to your future, a future that will continue to change with increasing speed. But never forget, the books you read throughout your life are software for your brain. And it only takes 26 letters to keep that most powerful computer, the one between your ears, upgraded. And let's not forget visual literacy, the three basic shapes found in nature, the circle, the square, the triangle, and the three basic colors of primary red, yellow, and blue make up the visual alphabet so that we may see the world in a new light. My sixth grade teacher, Laverne Gilkey, brought the beauty of the written word and my visual imagination together by reading aloud some of America's greatest writers. Jack London was my favorite. I will never forget The Call of the Wild. Mr. Gilkey's deep voice made the words come alive with images of the far frozen north. It was at that moment my visual world and reading came together, and I believe that that experience led to my future as an author and illustrator of books. It was therefore a great pleasure to create new paintings for a new edition of The Call of the Wild in 1999, 96 years after its first publication. My illustrations in that edition are dedicated to my sixth grade teacher, Laverne Gilkey. As a schoolboy growing up in Illinois, my imagination was also captured by two giants in American history, Illinois' Abraham Lincoln and Missouri's Mark Twain. Lincoln believed that your own resolution to succeed is more important than any one thing, and Twain joked he never let his schooling interfere with his education. My friend and fellow author Robert Burley recently penned this poem called The Class Clown, which I thought I would enjoy sharing with you today. A boy grows up in a no-account town. He makes up adventures. He plays the clown. Life seems a joke. Now what should he do? A printer? A miner? He hasn't a clue. A riverboat pilot? A soldier? He quits. He tries this and that, but nothing quite fits. He becomes a reporter, but won't stick to the letter. He can't write the truth if a lie would work better. Some question his grammar, some question his diction. At last he decides, I'll dabble in fiction. A failure, you're thinking, take care what you say, because someone quotes Mark Twain every day. Here is one of my favorite Twain quotes. A person with a new idea is a crank until the idea succeeds. In closing, I'd like to read a page from one of my picture books, Abe Lincoln Remembers, written by Ann Turner. The book is written in the first-person voice of our 16th president as he remembers his very humble beginnings and his long journey to the White House. One of my illustrations in the book pictures young Abe stretched out under an oak tree as he rests after plowing the fields. As he looks up from the book he is reading, Abe thinks back to his early years and his struggle to learn. Abe recalls, I did learn to read, though, got some history and my numbers. I practiced them on the back of a fire shovel, for soot and ashes make a fine slate. And I would do anything for a book. I'd read any chance I got. And I dreamed of freedom, of rising like a hawk into the sky to some fine, high place. So to you, the great UConn class of 2010, it is now your time to fly to some fine, high place. You are now cleared for takeoff. I wish you blue skies and a great flight. Thank you.